And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Then Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they had got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You may be seated. We've had a fun week. My voice is gone because we've had a fun week. But this is the reason why we're here today. This is the whole purpose of a youth group. It's not escape rooms. It's not dodgeball. It's certainly not shaving cream. This is why we're here. We're here to hear from God. We're here to hear from Jesus. Because if you're in this building and you can hear my voice, he's got a word for you. It's not a chance. It's not an accident. He has something for you. So, I've heard you shout at the Youth Olympics, and I've heard you shout at dodgeball. I'm hoping you can shout a little bit in church. Amen? Y'all gonna preach with me this morning? All right. So, we're gonna transform this into the Jordan Standard Version. The night air was thick with mist. I have a flair for the dramatic, so. The night air was thick with mist. The sea restless beneath the moonless sky. Waves slapped and clapped against the disciples' small little boat. I tried to get a ship, but youth budget, it's small. Pastor Peter said no. He said I couldn't buy a ship for the youth department. But each one a reminder of how far they were from shore. The wind howled across the water, chilling them to the very bone. And fear sat heavy in their chest as they strained against their oars. Then out of the swirling darkness, a figure appeared. It was a man walking on water. "A ghost!" somebody cried out. Panic erupted on the boat. But then came a voice, calm, steady, and unshaken by the storm. It said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Peter's heart pounded, thinking to himself, could it really be him? Could he be the one walking on water? The teacher who had stilled the storms with one word? The one who called fishermen to leave their nets, to step out and to follow. Could this be him? "Lord!" Peter yelled above the wind and the waves. "If it is really you, tell me to come onto the water." And Jesus replied, "Come." Peter, being one of very hesitant and thought out and well-calculated decisions, as therefore exemplified in Scripture, Peter's decided to swing a leg out over the boat and be like, "All right, here I'm going." The sea was wild, it was black, it was endless. But in that moment, Peter was one of two people in all of history to have ever walked on water. The water beneath his feet held him firm, something physics says is not possible. He stood, barely believing what's happening. And then he decided to take another step, and then another, and the impossible was happening. He was walking on the waves. His eyes locked on Jesus with every step. The chaos around him seemed to fade, but then a gust of wind tore across his face, the salt spray in his eyes. He glanced down. Oh, and he looked down and saw that there was nothing. Waves around him loomed high, soaking him to his very bones, the depths yearning beneath him. Fear surged in him like a riptide, and he began to sink. Lord, save me, he cried out, arms flailing as the sea tried to swallow him. At once, a hand shot through the darkness, strong, sure, unyielding. Jesus caught him up, lifting him up as if the ocean itself obeyed his grip. You of little faith, Jesus said gently with a smirk, his eyes searching Peter's. Why did you doubt? It was not condescending or condemning. It was how a friend would talk to a friend. Why did you doubt? Together, they walked back and climbed into the boat. And as they did, the winds ceased, and the sea became like glass. The disciples fell to their knees, trembling from the fear of the storm and what they had just seen, but in awe of the one who had walked on the waves. Truly, they whispered, you are the Son of God. So we're going to be talking about Peter stepping out in his life. I mentioned Peter is a man of cautious discernment and calculated decisions. No, Peter stepped out a lot. Peter stepped out a lot. Peter is one of the ones who decided, oh, you're going to take my Jesus? I'm going to cut off your head. But the Bible says you cut off an ear. Yeah, that's because he was swinging like this, and the dude went, huh! Okay, whoop, off it went. And Jesus, once again, not, oh, ye of little doubt, but maybe he had a look on his face like Peter, really? But goes down, picks up the ear, puts it back on the guard's head. This is not how we do, Peter. Peter is one of the ones who, in Mark 9, got the revelation of who Jesus was. Jesus was the one and only God. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the one and only. Got the revelation of God up there with a couple other, I believe it was Elijah and Moses. And Peter's like, oh my goodness, we need to build 3 temples. And Jesus is like, no, this is not the purpose of this object lesson. But Peter had a habit of stepping out a lot. We are all called. Few are chosen. You're all here in this building. But only some of you will choose to step out. Will that be you? Or will you choose to stay in the boat? There were 12 disciples in that boat. But one of 12 decided, if that's Jesus, that's where I want to be. If that's you, it's safer on the waves with you than it is in this boat. Peter stepped out. Like I said, Peter was a part of a miracle that only 2 people have been a part of. If we catalog the miracles in the Bible, you might think being raptured up to the sky is a pretty awesome miracle, and I would agree it is. But more people were raptured up than ever walked on water. You have Enoch, you have Elijah, you have Jesus. But only 2 walked on water. The difference is in how we respond that makes us chosen or called. Everyone is called, but how will you respond? Will you respond to stay in what you think is safe, to stay in the boat, to stay in your comfort zone, to stay where you perceive this is the place that I need to be? You see, the boat represents safety and security. It also represents complacency and comfortability. It's the same thing you've always done, with little risk and little reward. God is not a little God. He is not a God that has little risk and little reward. He is a God that says, hey, I'm going to do great things if you will just step out. It's time to put action behind revelation. You have been filled with the Bible twice a week, sometimes on Friday. It's time to take the stuff that you've learned in service and put it out to where it matters. And that's outside the boat. That's outside these walls. God is saying that you don't need another snot session at WYC or at NAYC. You need to take your altar and go altar someplace else. You need to go altar your P7, your friend group. You need to do something with your anointing. Peter didn't stand out of the boat and say, I'm going to die. He stood out and said, I'm going to testify, because there's going to be one day where I can tell somebody that I stepped out and I walked on water. Because I was following Jesus, and he said, come. Someone needs who you are becoming. Someone needs what you're going through. Don't quit just because it's scary, just because there's wind, and there's waves, and there's noise, and there's lightning. That doesn't mean you quit, and that doesn't mean you stop. Because somebody somewhere needs what you're going through. We need to step outside of the church. That prayer walk was a revelation for me to take what we have in here and take it outside of these walls and realize that Jesus does not exist in these walls. He's out there and he wants to be out there. It's to bring the gospel outside of the church. The gospel, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection. What he did for you and what he died for you for. So you didn't have to die yourself. When I respond to a call, for those who don't know, I work for an ambulance service. I'm a paramedic. When I respond to somebody in need, I don't pick them up and bring them back to Station 1 in Montello. I take my tools and my equipment and my knowledge and my training and meet them where they're at. I appreciate you bringing your friends to church. And I hope you continue to do that, because this is a safe place for those who are looking for something. But I also want to encourage you to step outside of these walls and take that anointing and that knowledge and that training and go help somebody in need. God is saying, you don't need... I apologize, I got sidetracked in my notes. But let's talk about the water. The water is unknown, it's deep, it's scary. If I took you, I know how my wife would answer, but if I took you for an hour east on Lake Michigan, plopped you in Lake Michigan, swimming lessons, life vest, sure, but I asked you to get out of the boat, how would you feel? Roberto says no. The water is scary. I understand that there is a fear factor with stepping out on the water. I understand that it represents the unknown. I understand that it represents something that you haven't done before, something that's scary. Whether it be stepping out in faith, stepping out in boldness, or stepping out in desperation because there's something missing in my life that I need and that I want. I understand that all levels are very scary. But God is impressing something on your heart right now. To do something. Peter did not wait for the waters to calm down. Peter just walked. He said, what you have is more important and more relevant than the waves that I'm seeing beneath me. So he walked. Sometimes when you step out of the boat, you might get a little wet. It might not go as easy as you thought. Sometimes when you're talking to your friend and you go, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, and they look at you funny and go, are you one of those Jesus people? That might not be what you thought would happen. But keep stepping, because that's what Peter did. He said, yeah, I am one of those Jesus people. And let me tell you what he's done for my life, because I got a testimony. I was lost, but now I was found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I went through this, and he brought me out. Sometimes you'll get a little uncomfortable. Sometimes it won't be perfect. We don't fear, but don't fear the only person who can do something perfectly, and that is Jesus, through you. He's right there to hold your hand. When you can't go anymore, when you start sinking because the waves are too high and the wind is too noisy, he's going to grab your hand and say, hey, I got you. I'm going to walk with you. And we're gonna go back to safety. We're going to go back to the comfort of the boat. But I'm going to be with you. A lesson that my wife taught a couple weeks ago in youth service, she said, don't let the last image of Peter be him sinking in the sea, but let it be him walking on water back to the boat with Jesus. Because that's how this story ends. The storm is going to come at you. A youth asked me recently, why does the devil do stuff against us? That's because he doesn't like you very much. But not everything bad that happens against you is of the devil. Some things are just life. And life is unfair. It rains on the just and the unjust. Whether God is with you or whether God is a little way off and you're making your way to him. But that's okay, because we serve a God that has power over the storm. We serve a God that has power over the wind. And if you just keep stepping out and keep making tracks towards him, he's going to calm the waves. He's going to make a way through it. There was once a Christian artist who made a song, sometimes he calms the storm, sometimes he calms the child. It'd be so easy for him to turn off the rain and the lightning, and sometimes he does. Sometimes he says, that's enough. But more often than not, what he does is he comes alongside you and he grabs your hand and says, hey, I'm going to walk with you back to the boat. These waves, this wind, this lightning, whatever you're going through in your life, these hardships, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be by your side. So stop complaining that life isn't fair, because if it was, we all deserve to be on a cross. You serve somebody who is a storm calmer. So stepping out, God is calling you to get out of the boat, to get out of the boat. DJ Hill said, how are you going to do the unrevealed will of God when you can't even follow the revealed will of God? Do what's in front of you and get out of the boat. Everybody knows prayer is important. You can't have a relationship with somebody that you don't talk to. Prayer is important. Reading your Bible. We all know those things. We all struggle with those things because we have this thing called flesh. But we got to get them in submission. You got to be following Jesus so someone else can follow you. Joshua 24:4 says, "For as for me and my house," you can't change the world if you can't change yourself. You're not going to impact your school if you can't have an impact on yourself. Where you're supposed to be, following Jesus. Following Jesus. God, or Jordan, I don't know what the will of God looks for like for my life. It's opportunity. That's what it looks like. It's not this grandiose plan of, I want you to be a missionary to Zimbabwe, or I want you to start a church at the North Pole. It's not it. It's taking the opportunities that are in front of you. This is an opportunity. This is a door. It aligns with what my pastor says. It aligns with what my Bible says, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to step. And it's going to be scary, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to keep stepping. And you know what? I might just find myself walking on water. That's about taking a step. Sometimes when you step out, you stand out. This is not always popular at your age group. Amen. It's not popular at your age group. I don't want to stand out. I want to blend in. But I want to kind of carve out my own identity. I don't have things that make me me. I don't want to stand out too much, but maybe just a little. Maybe just a little. God calls us a peculiar people. We're strange beings. So if you're going to step out, you're going to stand out a little bit. But you're standing out for something that's right. You're not saying, hey, I'm standing out for this whatever social circle that you're representing at the time, you're standing for something that's a lot deeper and a lot stronger, and that's Jesus. That's righteous living. You're saying, I'm a light, and if you're hurting, come to me, because I know a storm calmer. I know somebody that can mend your story, that can put you back together. When you can't make sense of yourself, you don't know up from down or left from right, I know somebody that can fix that. But you're gonna stand out. You're gonna stand out a little bit. Take it. Embrace it. Understand that that also might be walking on water. I don't want to look different. I don't want to talk different. Well, then how are they going to know? How are they going to know? If there's not a difference between you and somebody else at your school or at your work, how are they going to know that you got something valuable inside them? Something that is life-changing. If you don't step out, if you don't stand out, I am not saying go to your work or go to your school with picket signs saying, come to me, I know Jesus. That might work where you work. That would not work where I work. But don't be surprised when someone might look at you a little funny. They're not looking in judgment. They're looking because they don't understand, but they're curious. They want what you have. They might not know it, but they do. James 2, 17 through 18 says, so also by faith itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You can't say that you love Jesus and have faith, and it not be demonstrated by your works. That's like a car mechanic that says, I'm the greatest in the world, but I never work on cars. It doesn't work. You come here, you sing the songs, you pray at the altar, and I'm all for praying at the altar. This is a special place where lives have been changed, but this does not need to be the only place that you have an encounter. You need to take this, take it in your heart, and you need to bring it to Monday, and bring it to Tuesday, and bring it to Wednesday, and bring it to Thursday, and bring it to Friday, and bring it to Saturday, and you need to bring it back to the church, because there's still going to be people here that are looking for something. You can't say, I got faith in God, and I got love for Jesus, and it not have some sort of outward effect. It doesn't happen that way. You can't hold on to an M80 firecracker, have it go off in your hand, and there to be no repercussions. That's not how it works. You're this close to the revelation of Jesus. You're this close to his life-changing power. It's got to have an effect. It's got to have a change. John 4, 23 and 24 says, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will arise and will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You don't need a head full of scripture. You don't need a head full of good stuff. There needs to be some truth behind what you believe. You believe that God can change lives, that he can impact souls, then you need to take that out. There needs to be action behind what you believe. Jesus is a spirit. Those who worship him in spirit and in truth. He is all powerful. But he is a spirit, and he needs to act through the physical. He needs to act through you. He's got the spiritual side. He's got the stitches and the glue and whatever needs to happen to put it back together. But he needs you to step out in the physical. He cannot move unless your feet go there. He cannot heal unless your hands extend. He cannot minister unless your voice speaks. He needs you to step out. Step out and do something. Something that's never been done before, like Peter walking on water. Because he said, greater things will you do. Amen? Greater things will you do. There is no reward for picture-perfect timing. God, after I've read so many verses, God, after I've memorized so much scripture, God, after I've spent my hour in prayer, no, There is no reward for picture-perfect timing. I'm going to wait for this wave to pass, and then I'm going to step out on the water. There's no reward for that. There's only step out and watch what he can do. So if you're waiting for this perfect time where you're going to become the perfect Christian because your life is put together and now I have a handle on stuff, that's not what you should be waiting for. You should be waiting for that opportunity, and that's to swing your leg over the side of the boat, plant it on the water, and just keep stepping and reaching towards him. Amen? Jonah stepped out in the wrong direction. He said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. Throw me overboard. He did not walk on water, by the way. He was swallowed by a fish. There's a whole VeggieTales movie about it. In the belly of the whale. But God still kept using him and said, I'm going to take this man that decided to step and I'm going to save a nation. All he did was preach the worst sermon in history. And I'll challenge you on that. And that is, God's going to destroy the city. 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 I mean, you get the idea, right? It was a very, very concise sermon. It took them however long to get across from one side to the other. But what happened to that city? That city fell on their face and repented. The king tore his clothes and said, we need to start turning around and start serving God. So even when you step out, if you think you're stepping out in the wrong direction, God is going to honor that because God is a God of the storm. And says, I'm going to meet you where you're at, and I'm going to move in the spiritual when you step out in the physical. Stepping out in ministry. Somebody told me this once. If you take the S out of ministry, what is it? It's a mini try. It's a mini try. Just trying something. That's what ministry is. Ministry is not being behind a pulpit. Ministry is not praying at the altar. Ministry is taking that try. Sometimes it looks like befriending somebody who doesn't have friends. Sometimes it does look like praying with your classmate at church. Sometimes it looks like starting a P7 club. Sometimes it looks like meeting somebody in youth group who you've never met before. Sometimes it looks like stepping out and saying, hey, my name is Jordan. It's nice to see you here. That's what ministry is. I've seen you step out in praise, but can you step out in prayer? I've seen you celebrate the blessings, but can you celebrate the boring? Those times in the morning when you're not feeling that NAYC anointing, when you crack open your Bible and it's Lamentations. Are you still going to keep stepping in the boring when there's no blessing, when there's no fuzzy-wuzzy in your chest? Because that's what taking steps is. You do in the physical what you can and let God handle the spiritual. Jesus doesn't fit into your schedule. If Jesus doesn't fit into your schedule, change your schedule. We're here. This is a prelude to eternity. I understand we can have nice things here and we can have fun times here, but this is just the lobby. This is not the main show. You're here for a mission and for a purpose. Every single person under the sound of my voice. And God will be there when you step out. Look at Samson. Ungodly, unholy, selfish. He preached about him on Friday. But he decided, I'm going to step out. And God said, I will use that. I will use that. So what makes us more like Jesus is not just hearing the teachings, but acting upon them. This is the engine of change, is acting upon what you're feeling, what you're hearing. Jesus spoke to many people, but only a handful took what he taught and applied it to their lives and changed the world. We look back on the story of Peter walking on the water. Jesus was not in the boat. He was not in the boat. God isn't in the church. He is. He is everywhere. But he's waiting for you to go out there. That's where he is. He is waiting for you to step out. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, God is already out there waiting for you to take a step. So here I challenge you. The musicians can come. If you have not started a P7 group in your school, I challenge you to start one. The youth team will help you. If you have started one, keep it going. This world needs the light that you have. For those that might not go to a public school, I'm left out. Where is it for me to step out? How about you start praying and start supporting those who are doing these P7s? How about you start reaching out and befriending the visitors and the guests that come into youth group? The new seventh graders. You know, if you're bold enough to want to start a P7 group, are you bold enough to go up to a stranger and go, "Hi, my name is Henry. My name is Levi. My name is Seth." That's taking a step. What's stopping you from just being friendly and opening up a door? You want to know the will of God for your life? It's to greet that guest. That's the first step. Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I hope if we have a guest that comes to Sunday morning or to one of our Friday youth events, that they are mobbed with a bunch of friendly, smiling faces that says, "I'm happy that you're here." Or, "I'm happy that you're here. I understand we got our friend groups, and I love that y'all have your friend groups. But there's a bigger thing out there than your friend group. And God is calling for you to step out of your comfort zone, and do something that's going to have an eternal impact. And that might be saying, "Hi, my name is Luther, and I'm glad that you're here." For you P7 instructors, you have to step out. Because you're in a place where we can't go. I can't go. Abby can't go. You are missionaries to your school, a light that's set on a hill, a beacon of hope. It might not seem that way when you got one person that shows up, but that one person, you could make a difference in their life if you step out, if you are sensitive to what God is calling you to do. So if you're tired of the wind and you're tired of the storm, you can all stand. Tired of the darkness, tired of the giants, the sin, stagnation, constantly being where you are. Jesus is saying, step out. It might be a case where you step out onto the water, into the unknown. God, I don't know what you're trying to do in my life, but I'm going to step out into the unknown, and I hope that you support me on the water. It might be a case where you got something in front of you. There is no way that I could beat this. Abby, where's my dodgeball? Aaron, come up here. Where's my dodgeball go? There you go. Throw me my dodgeball. Aaron, come up here. Where's Justin? Is Justin here? Justin, come here. Go stand over here. We're going to have a dodgeball tournament. It's going to be Aaron versus Justin. You might be facing something. Why are y'all laughing? You're good at dodgeball, right? So-so? That's good enough. You might be facing a giant who's got all the cards. But when you pray and you ask for help, Clayton, get up here. Robbie, get up here. Luther, get up here. Taylor, get up here. I need this whole front row to come up here behind Aaron. You might be facing something that you think is impassable, but if you step out, and you got a team behind you, you got Jesus behind you, says, "Okay, I'm gonna be behind you." Now, who do you think is gonna win this competition? You got one shot. You ain't gonna get all of them. But you might be facing a giant. Thank you, guys. You can go down to the altar. We're going to call an altar call soon. But you might be facing a giant. But if you step out and say, I'm tired of where I am and what I'm doing, God's going to be behind you and going to be like, all right, we're going to take this giant down. You plus me is always a majority. You might find yourself at your wit's end. This depiction over here is a lady with an issue of blood. She had been to physicians. She had been to everybody, wasted her entire life savings on trying to fix her illness. And she was at a point of desperation where she was crawling through a crowd just trying to reach out to the Messiah, to someone that could give her a hope. In desperation, but in determination, she's crawling. And if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can step out enough, then I'm going to leave changed. So if you're tired of where you've been, come down to this altar. I hope this altar will be filled with youth. But if you're tired where you've been, this is the altar call. Jesus is here waiting for you to step out in the physical so he can meet you in the spiritual. Jesus' name. Jesus.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may